Found a D2, Mills, Wyoming, mixed
okay,
use.
Okay, so I should circle back
to... contact Callie Berg, Director of
Economic. Can I circle back with Marion then?
Staff will follow up with you, Mr. Askren.
Got it.
Thank you.
A two-lot certified survey map for Mills, Wyoming, subdivided lot 84.
Yes, this is the same lot that was subject to the rezoning. It's lot 84 of the Ryan Meadows subdivision plat. Is 20 acres, so the applicant is proposing to divide this property into two lots, one with 13 acres and the second lot with approximately 10 acres. So 10 acres will be in the future. The applicant stated that will apply for another application, that is the land combination to combine the 30 acres with the 10 acres. We don't have information about the proposed use of the 13 acres. So if the rezoning is approved, will be the M2 zoning. And these two proposed lots complies with the standards of the M2 zoning. Staff is recommending approval of the CSM because with the wetland that is located here, will be an obstacle for to develop this area, so makes sense the lot line located here. We have recommended approval with two conditions. One, if that the Monarch Drive cul-de-sac with an island will be subject to engineering approval of the civil plans, and the applicant will need to revise this conservation easement because currently does not include the shore buffer. So talking about a 25-foot strip, so they will need to revise the conservation easement to add the shore buffer.
Questions to staff on the two-lot certified survey map? Commissioner, City Engineer.
Just like let the rest of the commission know that this cul-de-sac is not a typical configuration. We went through a lot of reiterations on with the truck turning radius to make sure that if, for the most part, if something somebody gets lost, they'll be able to turn around. But for the most part, we don't expect anybody to really even use this other than snow plow. We're going to probably clear it at the end of the snow because since this will be a, it's really just an emergency emergency connection to the Copart, so there shouldn't be any traffic coming in and out of this gate. It should all come in off the – be with the traffic, if you will, with the trash trucks, not through our business park. So,
questions on the phone? Is there a motion to recommend
Commissioner,
approval? Yes, sir. Commissioner,
Haley would just, I guess, make the comment that the CSM works to the benefit of Franklin, I believe, regardless of what happens on the site, it facilitates the wise use of our land in the future.
Thank you, Commissioner. Is there a motion to recommend approval of a resolution conditionally approving a two-lot certified survey map being all of Lot 84 in Ryan Meadows, located in the southwest one-quarter and northwest one-quarter of the northeast one-quarter and the northeast one-quarter of the southwest one-quarter and the northeast one-quarter and the southeast one-quarter of the northwest one-quarter, all in Section 30, Township 5 North, Range 21 East, City of Franklin, Milwaukee County, Wisconsin, generally on the east side of Monarch Drive, south of Chicory Street, the area commonly known as Area G.
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Martinez, roll call, please.
Commissioner Bolthart?
Aye.
Commissioner Haley?
Aye.
City Engineer Morrow?
Aye.
Elder Mandendria?
Aye.
Commissioner Leon?
Aye.
I'm one short. Should be six eyes. He missed somebody.
Commissioner Hogan, that is excused.
Oh, okay. You got five eyes, one absent, one so motion carries. Okay, move on to the mixed use develop, and we did the certified survey map. So we move on to Copart online storage, vehicle storage, auction company, building and yard construction site plan. I've been getting it wrong all night. Who's doing it? Mr. Martinez.
Okay. So I will do a presentation, and the applicant is requesting to display a separate presentation.
You bet.
Okay. So this is a general description of the site, 44 acres, They are proposing a building that is 7,000 square feet with a parking lot, 41 spaces, and a driveway that will access State Highway 45, and this portion, half acres, is in the city of Mosquito. Mostly this area will be the areas for outdoor storage, that is approximately 25 acres. And this is the future cul-de-sac for Monarch Drive. They are proposing an emergency access. So this is an overall of the site plan. We can see all the drive and the storage area. These areas will be gravel, and also the stormwater management ponds, and this is the wetland that is part on the site and part off-site. We have a detail of the building and the parking and driveway. These are renderings of the proposed building. It will be a metal building. Staff is suggesting different exterior materials like brick and stone, but this is only a suggestion because it's not a requirement of the ordinance.
Yeah.
This is the facility that is under construction in Milwaukee. Staff did a site visit, but it was difficult to compare this site with the site in Milwaukee because mostly of the adjacent uses in Milwaukee is like oil storage, and the site is further away from the main street. And this is the landscape plan. So one of the concerns during the staff review was the lack of screening to the west. So the applicant addressed that comment, and they're providing landscaping features here to the west side. I received a call today from the planning manager of the city of Muskego. So they will prefer in the west side the metal fencing that is proposed to be replaced by the masonry fence. And also they will need to contact the city of Mosquito Board for further approvals. To the east side, the applicant is proposing this 25-foot landscape buffer yard easement with the masonry fence. Staff in the conditions is recommending, in addition to that, a tree survey just to make sure that the existing vegetation is adequate to buffer this side with the adjacent residential zoning. These are the renderings of the pictures and renderings of the metal fencing and the decorative masonry fencing that is 8 foot high and will require approval of the plan commission. These are renderings provided by the applicant that they will explain later. They will explain later this visual from the adjacent residential area. And this is the topography just in case we need it for the visuals of the site. According to the site plan, the screening will be all around, part metal fencing and part masonry fence. So staff is recommending approval with 11 conditions. I will highlight some of them. This will be contingent to the any necessary land transfers that will be required to combine the 10 acres with the 33 acres, and also contingent to the natural resource special exception. Another condition, the applicant will need to submit the necessary conservation easement and landscape buffer yard easement. And the applicant did not submit a lighting plan, so they will need to submit a lighting plan that will be subject to review by staff. Staff recommended the tree survey for the areas that it's proposed as a landscape buffer yard easement. And the stormwater plan will be subject to final approval by the engineering department. And the applicant has 4 additional requests. A parking reduction of the required parking. The UDO does not specify a parking ratio for this use. So the applicant is proposing 41 parking spaces. If we consider that this site as a junkyard, for example, the required parking spaces by the UDO will be 73 spaces. All the other approval is the driveway width. The maximum in the UDO is 24 feet, and the applicant is requesting this to be increased to 28 feet. The third approval is the approval of the fence that is 8 feet high. Any fence that is higher than 6 feet will require approval of the Plan Commission. And the fourth request is the temporary irrigation in lieu of the permanent irrigation. Staff will consider an alternative that the applicant will need to provide the 2-year planting guarantee.
Mr. Mills.
Thank you. We'll have some of the same images, but I'll roll through them pretty quick for everybody. There we go. Thank you. So, sure. And while it's being passed out, some of the slides I'm going to go through rather quickly, just due to the fact that, you know, breaking it up between the zoning components, natural resource plan, and then site and operational plan. So some of them aren't quite as relevant. Some of them are. I'll also try and answer some of the questions. Rick Donner, Copart's attorney, will answer a handful of them as well, consistent back with Copart's specific uses and operational plans. I think the angle that's impacts us the most is really what's the impact on their surrounding uses. We own, we've likely have the most to lose here with single family and the other uses in the park. So I'll talk about that, the seclusion relationship. I think it was Mr. Leon, you asked about the minimum assessment and the economic impacts earlier. So one of the things that Copart has agreed to do is to do a $6 million minimum assessment guarantee. So the property taxes at a minimum would be $6 million annually. It equates to, or $6 million assessment annually. It equates like a $20 mill rate. We're looking at about $120,000 a year that would be paid in for, and that would be guaranteed for the life of the TID. The site layout and navigation plan. So this goes back to that same landscape plan. I think a couple of the things that are important, you know, some of the commentary where it was mentioned, the red is the pointer?
Red, yeah.
All right, thanks.
You gotta use the mic.
So as we think about what we'll talk here, I have a great picture of this, that 9,200 square foot wetland area. Again, cautioning that it's today, as it sits, it is absolutely plowed over and it's just a bit of a spillway. So we'll talk about the impact of that. Again, as Regalo mentioned, we have 4 stormwater basins on site, and in this sliver of an area here, we felt that would be another good feature to be able to put some stormwater there, given the narrowness of that site up against the existing wetland, which will remain. In addition to that, you know, the overall setbacks outside of the wetland area, you know, we've got a pretty significant area all the way around. And I think what's really important too, from our standpoint, again, we have the masonry fence here that goes along that side and then turns the corner. I have some images that you'll see what that impact looks like. There's, and some, those images will also show the amount of woodlands that are around this. And it, you know, that's something that we're pretty thoughtful where we don't have a wooded area. We want to make sure we beef up with landscaping, and that's something that Rick can talk about. But really going above and beyond on a landscaping plan. However, when there's existing vegetation, trees, we want to keep those, and it just makes good sense. The fence, which was talked about earlier, I think this is important just to get perspective. So we have you can see it here on the picture, significant wooded area that will remain. The last meeting, I don't think our slides did a good job of depicting the amount of green space that will continue to remain. So we have a 22-acre outlot, and then we have a wetland complex here. All of that will remain. We have significant wetlands to the south and wooded areas. All of that remains today. From this vantage point here, So from the closest lot, as you look down this way towards that Copart site, we actually go from 793 to 810, back down to about 802, I believe? 801. So we're looking uphill, and you can see that here. Just for context, I am standing, this is, we took these last week, standing right there, the closest lot to be able to see this. That pole right there is located here. So we're about 1,000 feet away, looking uphill, and you can get good perspective by that. That tree right there is actually that wetland complex. It's growing there, and that tree will obviously remain. But it's back at that pole. Where's the corner of the property? It's impossible to see. It's impossible to see if you're on the second floor of a single family. Again, we would not put any use that would hurt the ability to sell these single family homes. On average, those lots, I believe, will sell for about $130,000 apiece. Lot house packages, $400,000 to $625,000. We will not cut off our nose to spite our face and do something that does not make economic sense. Another angle, this is actually, you can see the pole is actually right over, you can't see it with that on top, but the pole is actually over to the right. So looking back from the corner to the single family, you just get a good perspective that you're just not going to be able to see anything. And again, we're going to restore some of these, expand that wetland area. This all remains. This angle three is looking this way. There's a single family home. It's actually separated. The gentleman owned this field going all the way down to the south, but then we have two single family residences, but with the trees, it's virtually impossible to see them. Here we're looking this way, so at the corner of the site, looking south, we've got significant wetland complexes that will remain. In addition, behind that, there's a significant amount of wooded area that won't be going anywhere either. This is just another angle looking back to the northeast. And then I think this is important, and I mentioned this before, this is that wetland area that we were looking to disturb. That's it. It's a ditch. You can tell where the water congregates. Sheet drains down. I think something that's important to note, and we do probably as much brownfield development as anyone in the state, and we're in the wetland mitigation bank business, so we get it, we're passionate about it, we take it serious. This doesn't provide much benefit. So the idea of trying to take some other areas, mitigate it, add additional native grasses, rip out the reed canary grass, etc., that's going to provide better water quality techniques. Certainly, compared to sheet draining, this just doesn't do much. So I think we're going to make the situation better, in that, at least in that regard of that wetland complex. Going back to the overall impervious surface versus pervious surface, gravel, from our vantage point, gravel filtrates the water. Asphalt, it sheet drains it, it goes into a pond, and then the pond releases it after that. And going through that process, water technically is cleaner going through that and then moving into the detention basins after it has a chance to permeate through a gravel process like that. It's much like why we use bioswales and other techniques to move the water over vegetation, not have it sheet drain over fields, not have it sheet drain over asphalt. So that was part of the plan as well. See if there's any other points here to touch on before I hand the mic over. I believe that was it. So pass it to Rick, but certainly I'll be able to answer any questions you might have.
So I think
you good?
Yeah. We covered that.
Perfect.
Yeah, so we don't need to go through those slides. I think we already covered those and can save some time. Just two points. So the comment came in today, I guess, from Muskego regarding the fencing on the west side facing 124. That's the first we've heard of that. In working with staff on developing the plan, we did not make that. We left that metal because there's significant landscaping facing on that west side, as you can see. So this is the first we were hearing about a possible masonry. But right now, the original plan with Franklin staff was to put the landscaping on that west side. In terms of the material for the building, as we spoke to earlier, the building in the area is not open to the public. You can't just, it's not a used car lot where you can walk in and kick the tires, so to speak. And so it is a, and it's not visible from the street, and it's not visible from neighboring properties, as SR just showed. So we feel the proposed building materials are appropriate. We think it's a good-looking building for its use, and it's compatible with what we've got at other facilities. And I'm here, and a representative from Copart to answer any questions.
Mr. City Engineer.
As far as the drainage through a gravel, I think I agree. It's like a trickling filter, and there is microbes that can attach to the aggregate, and it does do a lot of cleaning to go through. My concern is, how do we know that there's a good clay layer underneath? What guarantee do we have that there's a nice clay layer that it won't seep into the soil?
Two things. One, it is our position, you know, despite some of the testimony or from the alderman, that you know there's not going to be dripping fluids out in the storage lot, because as you saw in the Cudahy site, they are all processed before they put into that storage lot, and so those spills are dealt with, you know, and cleaned up, as you said, in a contained area.
Well, you can't have it both ways. So it's either doesn't drain off at all, so you don't have to worry about everything should be asphalt, or you know, if it doesn't drip, or if it does drip, you've got to. I mean, you did get some treatment from the aggregate. So I guess my question is, if you were to get a spill, and granted you're going to do your best, to clean it up per your protocols, but how do we know that it's not actually going to soak into the soil versus get stopped by a clay layer?
I mean, I can try to help on that too, and Dan might be able to answer that, but I think a lot of it's going to go back to the engineering and to ensure that there's a good stable base. I think on top of the aggregate, certainly there would be structural clay brought in to you know, the various engineering standards. I'm not an engineer. I can't speak to that specifically, but I know they can't put it in a seeping hole because it's not going to last.
I'm trying to throw you a softball here. So you're trying to tell us that you're going to have a geotech firm out there checking compaction and making sure there's at least a six-inch layer of impervious.
So if you look at the plans, there is a cross-section that shows those. I'm not an engineer either, obviously.
Okay.
And so I'm a little hesitant to speak to that. The engineer is on the – Copart's engineer is on the phone. Mm-hmm. But the cross section of that of the gravel and showing the compacted layers, and I just don't.
But
I can't speak intelligently.
So can the engineer on the phone confirm that there will be a sealed clay liner, if you will, beneath that?
John Blanker.
Yes, this is John Blanker, 3701 12th Street North, St. Cloud, Minnesota. I'm with the engineering firm Westwood that we're the Copart's consultant. So there were preliminary soil borings done on the site, and the entire site is a heavy clay. Real heavy soil, and then when it comes to the aggregate base, that'll be compacted to 100% of the standard proctor for that, which is virtually makes it impervious, and then it'll be capped with that.
Stone won't make it impervious, but I guess the question is, how are you going to are you going to test these soils, compaction of the soils, not just the aggregate? That's what I'd like to hear.
The existing soils on site?
Test the soils, make sure they're compacted before you start adding gravel.
You'll have a geotech firm out there, John, won't you? Well, do geotech as you guys are...
Yeah, part of our specs for all of our projects is that any fill areas need to be compacted. Top 3 feet needs to be 100%, so that will all be tested as part of our standard protocol like we would.
Can I ask that submittals of those geotech reports be submitted to site plan for site plan review as your building?
Yep.
Before stone goes on.